Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja, and I am delighted to say that the Milwaukee Bucks are the 2021 NBA champions. That's right. After tonight, Game 6, the Milwaukee Bucks won their fourth game to win the series against the Phoenix Suns and be crowned the NBA champions. It was a great performance by Giannis Antetokounmpo. It was historic, iconic. It was everything you want to see from a superstar. He delivered. He answered every doubt that anyone has ever had about Giannis. He went ahead and did everything he could. He even hit a three. I mean, he was fantastic on offense, on defense. He had amazing plays that just stood out, like I said, on offense and defense. He was magnificent. He had 50 points, and I honestly couldn't tell you if he was better on offense or defense. That's how good he was. That's how amazing Giannis Antetokounmpo is. The Greek Freak is an NBA champion. And the Milwaukee Bucks won tonight 105-98. Crushing the hopes and dreams of the Phoenix Suns, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, their dreams for this season were crushed. But Giannis, Drew, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, Brooke Lopez, hell, even Jeff Teague, they all have become NBA champions. And it was a great thing to watch. I will admit that, like last game, this game, I was doubtful. Not heading into the game. Heading into the game, I was 100% confident that the Bucks were going to win. I was just sure of it because they were playing at home. They had the crowd on their side. I had it in my mind that Giannis was not going to let this game slip away. They had to fight for it because they dug themselves into a hole there for a second. They started the game, the first quarter, as sloppy as they started out. I mean, the Suns started out sloppy too. It was a turnover festival in the first quarter. About 5 minutes into the game, there were a total of 10 turnovers. The Bucks had 6, the Suns had 4. But still, you know, the Suns were trailing by 13 points at the end of the first quarter, because the Bucks were up 29-16. The Suns started out shooting 1 of 8. That's how bad they were. But I mean, the Bucks were just as bad. I mean, in the first quarter, they weren't missing shots like the Suns were, but they were turning it over, just making bad decisions, sloppy with the ball, taking bad shots. And then when they would take a shot, they would just miss badly. It wasn't pretty, but they got it done. At the beginning, the Suns were trying to go to DeAndre Ayton and get him shots, but Ayton was just missing them all game long. So, first off, let me go ahead and go over the stats. Like I stated, the Bucks won 105-98. Giannis' stats were incredible. He ended the night with 50 points. On 16 of 25 shooting. Like I said, he even made a three. He had 14 rebounds, only 2 assists, but he had 5 magnificent blocks. I mean, these blocks were just, whoa, in your face. I mean, they were so aggressive, so strong, violent, even, I would use as an adjective for those blocks. I mean, they were just so incredible. Chris Middleton, he had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 of 13 shooting. You know, those stats don't really jump off the page, but at the end of the night, he hit some critical shots in order for them to get this win. I mean, he just continued his narrative of being clutch here for the Bucks, and he definitely delivered. Jrue Holiday as well. Tonight was not a good shooting night for him. He only ended with 12 points, but he shot 4 of 19. 2 of 5 from 3, so at least he shot 40% from 3-point land. But yeah, 4 of 19 for Jrue obviously was not pretty. But he did have 4 steals, and those 4 steals were critical. Once again, just like Khris Middleton, Jrue Holiday was clutch, except that Jrue was clutch on defense, which has pretty much been the story all series long. I mean, Jrue Holiday has just come up with incredible steals at the ends of game at the end of games, and tonight was no different. Also, Bobby Portis, man, he really stepped up. He ended the night with 16 points, 3 rebounds. He shot 60% from the field, 40% from 3-point land. He was just instant offense, instant energy, instant hustle. You know, he was fantastic for the Bucks. He might have been the guy that saved this game for the Bucks. I'm going to go over that in a little bit. So that's the Bucks side. Pat Connaughton actually ended with 0 points, but he was critical with his rebounding as usual. He has just solidified himself as probably one of the best rebounders. Well, one of the best rebounding guards, especially offensive rebounds. So for the Suns, they scored 98 points. They weren't able to even get over that 100-point threshold. Chris Paul, he ended with 26 points, 5 assists. He shot 11 of 19. He shot 50% from 3. He was the high scorer in the game for the Suns. Devin Booker tonight was not his night. He ended with 19 points, 5 assists. He shot 8 of 22, 0 for 7 from 3. He had 6 turnovers. So tonight was not his night. DeAndre Ayton as well. He ended with 12 points, 6 rebounds, but he shot 4 of 12 from the field. He did have 2 steals. He did have 2 blocks, but he just looked, I'll be honest, he looked a little scared out there. He didn't look like he was ready for the moment. He wasn't ready to shine under the big bright lights. You know, we could see his youth. It was apparent. You know, his first playoffs, only his third season in the league. Like I said, he hadn't even made the playoffs before this season. And to just jump right into an NBA Finals, that's tough. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, some people have it where it just comes naturally. Doesn't matter, you know, if it's the first game of the regular season or if it's the game 7 of the NBA Finals. You know, they're going to step up, such as Trae Young or Luka Doncic or, you know, people like that. But DeAndre Ayton was not able to do that tonight. We'll go over that as well. Jay Crowder, he ended with 15 points, 13 rebounds, shot 4 of 11 from the field, 2 for 9 from 3. So that's the story from the Suns side. So yeah, disappointing for the Suns, obviously. So let's go back towards the beginning of the game. 10 total turnovers in the game with only, they were in the first quarter, there was still 4 minutes remaining, and there were 10 total turnovers already in the game. It was crazy. DeAndre Ayton got into a little bit of early foul trouble for the Suns. He had committed 2 personal fouls in the first quarter. I mean, it was so bad that we had a Frank Kaminsky sighting early in the game. Although later in the game, Kaminsky was surprising. He played well. I'll go over that as well in a little bit, but let me just go phase by phase here. Also, let me just throw it out there. Scott Foster was the referee for tonight. And if you have any recollection of Chris Paul and his playoff mishappens, Chris Paul before tonight was 1 of 12. That was his record when Scott Foster was officiating. His playoff record with Scott Foster as the referee is 1 and 12. So now he's 1 and 13. But yeah, I mean, the Bucks were up 29-16 at the end of the first quarter. Bobby Portis, early three-point shooting. He was amazing coming off the bench. Just like I said, instant energy, offense, hustle. Basically what he's been doing for the last two series. And the Bucks were strong, you know, early rebounding, offensive and defensive rebounds. That's one of the key factors that got them the early lead. And the Suns, like I said, just sloppy first quarter, turnovers, bad shots, missing. But I mean, the Bucks kind of started that way as well. But they kind of fixed that pretty quick, obviously, by going up 29-16. Giannis was just attacking the basket early, super aggressive. He went to the free throw line four times. Well, he shot four free throw shots in the first quarter, 4 for 4. I mean, 100% from the free throw line. He was amazing from the free throw line. And yeah, so the Bucks led by as many as 13 in the first quarter, ending the quarter 29-16. They had that lead, even though they had 7 turnovers at the end of the first. But then came the second quarter, and things got sloppy now for the Bucks. The Suns put in campaign. He gave the Suns a great scoring little period there. He scored as many as 10 points. You know, he was just attacking. He shot a three. Fearless. That is one thing about campaign. He is fearless. He is not scared to shoot. He's not afraid of the moment. Sometimes, you know, that can hurt him. His confidence, he can be a little too confident sometimes and take some bad shots, but that was not the case here in the game. You know, like I said, he was just getting layups, attacking, three-pointers, jump shots. He was great for the Suns, and he was a great addition that helped the Suns come back into the game here in the second quarter. Middleton had 2 early fouls as well in the, I mean, with 10 minutes remaining in the second quarter, Chris Middleton had 2 fouls, and you know, Coach Bud, he decided, no, I'm not going to take out Chris Middleton. I'm going to trust Chris Middleton, which really, you know, was a big decision. I mean, if Chris Middleton would have gotten another foul there, who knows if we'd have the same outcome? Who knows if the Bucks would have won? Although Chris Middleton wasn't much of a scorer tonight, you never know, because Chris Middleton, he's not just an offensive guy. He's a great defender. I mean, he is one of the more overlooked players when it comes to defense. He has been critical for the Bucks here in this playoff run, and tonight was no different. Giannis, he had an incredible block on Ayton. He shot a floater. He was in the lane, shot a floater, and Giannis just smacked that ball right over to the other side of the court. He has just been amazing with his blocks. I mean, just so aggressive. Like I said, almost violent blocks, but you love to see it. And yeah, so the Suns went on a quick 10-0 scoring run in the second quarter. I mean, it was crazy. It was very alike to last game, where the Bucks went down by 16, and then all of a sudden they come back and they're up. And that's basically what happened here. I mean, the Suns went on a 17-4 scoring run to tie the game at 33-33 at one point. And then they took the lead within the second quarter. At the end of the second quarter, they took the lead. You know, the Bucks just had no flow, no rhythm in the second quarter, just missing shots I mean, just bad at shooting. I mean, they shot 4 of 20 in the second quarter, the Bucks did. I mean, at the end of the second quarter, at the end of the half, the Suns were leading 47 to 42. So it was just a crazy turnaround. And that's when you started kind of getting the feeling, you know what, this might not be the Bucks' night. We're seeing some early foul trouble. No one is making shots. No one's being aggressive other than Giannis. It just did not look like it was happening. The Bucks also in the second quarter, they were deviating from what everyone knows works for the Bucks: attack the basket. And they weren't doing that. They were settling for jumpers. They were settling for three pointers. And that to me is the most frustrating thing when you watch the Bucks play, is that you know what works. They have to be aggressive. They have to attack the basket. But sometimes they deviate and they want to become a jump shooting team, and that doesn't work. When they do that, that's when they lose. That's when they lose their leads. So that's basically what was happening here. And yeah, Giannis just had a couple of those huge blocks. He had two of them here in the first half. Just amazing with his defense all around. He is such an amazing two-way player. Like I said, 50 points tonight, but his defense, 5 blocks, and they always seem to come at critical times. Just kind of like Pat Connaughton, who hits those threes. I've always talked about here in this series, Pat Connaughton just hits threes, but he seems to hit them at the perfect time that helps the Bucks. And it's the same thing for Giannis here on defense with his blocks. I mean, it's the perfect time. Somehow, it's just perfect timing. It's just amazing what Giannis can do on both sides of the court. So the Suns outscored the Bucks 31-13 in the second quarter. Only 13 points for the Bucks in the second quarter. I mean, that's how bad they were. I mean, like I said, they shot 4 of 20 from the field. Chris Paul ended the first half with 13 points and 4 assists. Devin Booker, and a good sign for the Suns is they ended 47-42 the first half. They were leading. And a good sign for the Suns is that Devin Booker wasn't even playing well, or shooting well for that matter. Booker only had 4 points on 2 of 8 shooting in the first half, and somehow the Suns had the lead. So, you know, if you're watching this game, you kind of felt more optimistic for the Suns rather than the Bucks, just because the Suns all of a sudden were not hitting shots. They were sloppy, having so many turnovers, and the Suns still had the turnovers, but they were making shots. And, you know, if they can get a lead and Booker isn't even scoring, that's great news, because somehow you've got to figure, well, Booker's got to come back into this game somehow. It's a game 6. It's a potential series-ending game for the Suns season. So you'd expect Booker to pick it up. Also, like I said, Campaign, he had 10 points in that first half, which helped the Suns make the comeback. Ayton, 8 points in the first half, 2 of 9 shooting. Tonight just was not his night. For the Bucks, Drew Holiday, he only had 2 points on 1 of 11 shooting. Chris Middleton, 9 points on 3 of 8 shooting. He did have 2 assists. Bobby Portis, who other than Giannis was the only positive for the Bucks, was Bobby Portis. He had 10 points on 3 of 5 shooting. But yeah, the Bucks, they had 10 turnovers versus the Suns, 7 turnovers. So 17 total turnovers in the first half. I mean, it was just sloppy. It was not pretty. Also, if you look at the 3-point shooting in the first half, the Suns shot 4 of 12, so 33% shooting. The Bucks shot 3 of 17, which was only 17.6% shooting. You look at field goal shooting, the Suns shot 18 of 42, which is 42.9%, while the Bucks shot 15 of 43, which is 34.9%. So not really great numbers for the Suns, but at least they were better than the Bucks. So after the horrible first half for the Bucks, they were only down 5 points. So that also was a positive. You know, if you're if you're a Bucks fan, it's halftime. You see that you're down by five, but then you look at how badly you've been playing. Well, it's only got to go up from here, right? It can't get any worse, and we're only down five, so we should be good. And turns out they were good. Giannis continued to be very aggressive throughout the game. With his incredible free throw shooting, he ended the night shooting 17 of 19 from the free throw line. Amazing. I mean, this guy, so much scrutiny about his free throw shooting. Everyone beating up on him about his free throw shooting. Even himself, he knows that he had to shoot better, and he did it. And the most amazing thing is, he did it in the game to get them a championship. He forgot about all his woes. He forgot about all of his troubles at the free throw line. He was focused, and he made every free throw shot except for two out of 19. So, amazing. If that doesn't tell you anything about Giannis and his mentality and his drive, I don't know what will. Maybe Ben Simmons needs to get some pointers from Giannis, because whatever he's doing, it's working. Drew Holiday was not shooting well, but, you know, he was defending darn well throughout the whole game. Big part of why the Bucks won, not just tonight, but the series. Giannis ended with 31 points. Midway through the third quarter, Giannis already had 31 points. He had the bulk of the scoring since the start of the second quarter. Also, Ayton, he got in foul trouble again. He had four fouls with 4 minutes remaining in the third. So Frank Kaminsky had to come back in. And he actually did well throughout the whole series. Before tonight, Frank Kaminsky had scored only 5 points. Tonight, he ended with six. You know, not amazing numbers, but considering, you know, 6 points, hey, hell, the Suns will take it. Also, he was pretty good on the defensive side for the Suns, which is also surprising. But he was clogging the lane, so he wasn't allowing Giannis to drive the ball as easily. He helped aid on a couple of steals, so they forced some turnovers. He was a big part of that. So, you know, he did well stepping in for Ayton when he had to step out of the game. He did a good job. So after being up 13 points, the Bucks, after being up 13 points, the Suns go up by 7, and then all of a sudden the Bucks come back. So good deal. Giannis was just super aggressive, just leading to he was really drawing a lot of fouls, Giannis. That's how aggressive he was being. So like I said, he went to the free throw line. He shot 19 free throws, making 17 of them. You know, just his effort on offense and defense was incredible. The Bucks scoring at the end of the third quarter. This is how great Giannis was. At the end of the third quarter, Giannis had scored 37 points. The rest of the team combined had scored 40. So Giannis had almost half the points for the Bucks at the end of the third quarter. I mean, he was just amazing, unstoppable, just iconic performance by Giannis. So at the end of the third quarter, the game was tied 77-77. Like I said, Kaminsky was actually contributing. He was doing a great job. At one point in the fourth quarter, Chris Paul gets mad at Bobby Portis and he starts shoving Bobby Portis. I don't know why he didn't get a technical foul. He starts shoving Bobby Portis. I mean, Bobby Portis did not move an inch when Chris Paul shoved him. Chris Paul was so mad, and Bobby Portis, he was just all smiles. That must have really pissed off Chris Paul even more. But that was fun to watch. Giannis, again, he had three huge blocks in the third quarter, in the second half, two huge ones in the fourth quarter. Just clutch blocks as well. But really, for the Bucks, what was keeping the Suns in the game were the turnovers for the Bucks. That's what was really killing them. And the Bucks They were the lowest turnover team throughout the whole season. So it's really odd to see the Bucks play like this sometimes. When they play like this, it's just weird to see because they usually take care of the ball really well. But not tonight. But thankfully, that did not. Those turnovers did not decide the outcome for the Bucks. So yeah, Ayton had 5 fouls with 8 minutes left in the fourth. But at that point, Monty Williams decided to just stick with him. But Giannis, his incredible defense. I mean, DeAndre Ayton almost looked scared. Whether he was on defense or offense, he looked scared when Giannis would come at him. He looked even more scared whenever he'd get the ball. As soon as they would pass him the ball, DeAndre Ayton would try and get rid of that ball as soon as possible. So they'd just give him the ball, and he'd shoot a quick floater. He'd shoot a quick turnaround J. He just would not take his time. He was rushing his shots. He just looked, I hate to say it, but he just looked scared of the moment. He did not look ready for this game. And I know that before the game, he said he was actually excited that they were down in the series, that they were down 3-2. You know, he said he liked being the underdog. But, you know, his youth showed, his inexperience showed. So the Bucks were able to take care of that. But the bad thing for the Suns is that even though Ayton wasn't playing well, they just couldn't take him out of the game because he's their only size. He's their only guy who's competent on defense. He's their only big who's competent down low on the block. So the Suns had to stick with him. And unfortunately, he was not able to deliver for the Suns. But yeah, Bobby Portis, great scoring punch off the bench for the Bucks. Middleton hit a huge jump shot to put the Bucks up by 6 points with 56 seconds left. Just clutch. And so yeah, Giannis ended the night with 5 blocks, 50 points. Which is actually tied for the 6th most points in a finals game. And the crowd was just rocking in Milwaukee. As many as 65,000 people were in downtown Milwaukee ready to celebrate. Which they did because the Suns won 105-98. It was just amazing to see. The game ended. You could see Giannis so happy, so excited. You could see PJ Tucker dribbling the ball till the end of the shot clock that ended the game. You could see Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Bobby Portis was ecstatic. It was just great to see. And unfortunately, you just saw Chris Paul, Devin Booker. You saw all of them walk right off the court. Actually, to his credit, Devin Booker, he stayed on the court for a little bit. He saw a little bit of the celebrating. But Chris Paul, he walked right off the court as soon as that buzzer hit. He wanted no part of it. He did not want to see any of it. So, yeah. But I am going to talk about the ending of the game. I'm going to talk about Finals MVP. I'm going to talk about a little bit of history. About a little bit of history that was cemented after tonight because of the Bucks. But first, let's hear this quick message from our sponsor. We'll be right back. Okay, and we are back. So, I finished earlier just talking about the Bucks winning. I went over the game. So now I just want to bring up a couple of things about the game. So first off, I just want to bring up the Giannis 50 points. He obviously, like I said, scored 50 points, which actually is his 50 points is 47.6% of the Bucks' total points in Game 6. He scored 50 of the Bucks' 105 points tonight, which is 47.6% of the Bucks' total scoring. Just amazing. I mean, Giannis was a man on a mission. He knew what he wanted to do, and he got it done. Just amazing. Giannis is also the first player to record at least 40 points and 10 rebounds and 5 blocks in a finals game. So again, his offense and defense just spectacular. Giannis is also the first player ever to average 30 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists on 60% shooting in the final series. He also shot 17 of 19 on free throws tonight. I brought that up several times. But that counts as the highest mark of his playoff career on minimum of 15 free throw attempts. And it's also his third highest overall of his career. Just so good. One thing for the Suns, what happened with Cam Johnson? I mean, he only played 16 points. In those 16 points, he only shot, recorded 3 points. But I mean, Cam Johnson was on fire all game, or excuse me, all series long, really all playoffs long for the Suns. Play him more. Get him into a rhythm. Get him shots. Have him take shots. Get him into a rhythm. I mean, if you're the Suns, you need as much scoring as you can, especially when Booker is not shooting well. Also, Mikal Bridges, he shot 3 for 7 tonight. I don't know if you guys remember, but last episode I brought up that the Suns, these playoffs, were 10-0 whenever Mikal Bridges would shoot at least 10 shots a game. He didn't have to make 10 shots. He just had to shoot 10 shots. And they were 10-0. So get your role players going if you're the Suns. I don't know why. It felt very Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton heavy. The only other guy who it feels like scored at all for the Suns other than those three was Campaign with his 10 points. So that was a big flaw that I noticed really throughout the whole series for the Suns, is that they really wanted to get their main guys involved, but they didn't get their others involved. Now, the others did get involved in other ways, off of offensive rebounds, so second chance points, or they would get involved off of transition offense. But no plays were ran for the role players, which was a little disappointing because they have great role players. They have great shooters as role players, obviously, in Cam Johnson. Jay Crowder can hit shots. Mikal Bridges, obviously. Campaign can. We know he's not scared to take a shot. So just get other guys involved if you're the Suns. The Suns shot 6 of 25 from 3, which is only 24%. Something interesting. Before this game, the Suns had shot a total of 30 corner threes all series long, which was actually their best shot when it came to three-pointers. So they'd only average about 6 of those before this series, or excuse me, before this game. They shot 2 of those in the fourth. So, I mean, if, you know, you'd think if you excel at a certain shot, you try and get as many of those shots as possible. But just wasn't happening. They were really depending on Chris Paul in this game. He was obviously the only one who got going, because he did score 26 points. A lot of those were mid-range shots. Devin Booker was not making shots. So it really just felt like they were going with Chris Paul. His mid-rangers around the elbow, he was really in that 10 to 15 foot radius when it came to his shots. Devin Booker would take shots, but he wasn't scoring. And then DeAndre Ayton, who, like I said, he'd get the ball and then he would just shoot the ball as soon as possible. He would not take his time. He was rushed, just was not shooting well at all. Also, assists this game, the Bucks had 20. The Suns only had 14. Giannis shot 59% from the free throw line throughout up until game five. And tonight he shot that 17 of 19. I mean, like I said, he was super aggressive. I mean, also, that's something that you'd want to see if you're the Suns. Drive to the basket. Be aggressive. Do what Giannis is doing. Give them a taste of their own medicine. Attack the basket, get fouled, shoot free throws. That'll help your guys get into a rhythm. Have your guys make a couple shots from the free throw line. Have them see their shots go into the basket. That'll help their confidence. That'll get them into a groove. And then they can start making more shots. But the Suns did not do that. So that's just something I wanted to throw out there. So Giannis, this was his 30-40 point game of the finals. I mean, like I said, he was just a man on a mission. So the NBA Finals MVP was announced, obviously, after the game, just like always. And the Finals MVP was Giannis Antetokounmpo. But also, I think that Chris Middleton deserves a shout-out. Yeah, Chris Middleton was awesome. Obviously, the only correct answer for Finals MVP was Giannis. Yes, Chris Middleton had great games. He also had some games where he wasn't good. But Chris Middleton was their closer. I mean, he was the guy that they would depend on to make shots at the end of games. He was fearless when it came to taking shots. It went into the basket more times than not. I mean, Chris Middleton was the definition of clutch here in this finals. Also, the way he stepped up when Giannis got injured in those last two games against the Hawks, he was great. Without Chris Middleton, the Bucks had no chance of winning the championship. But Giannis obviously deserved the Finals MVP. I mean, his lowest scoring game, I believe, was 26 points. His lowest. He had three minimum of 40-point games. He had two 40-point games and one 50-point game. And not only that, but Giannis was incredible on defense. I mean, his most memorable plays were defensive plays, were blocks. And that's another thing. You know how they say defense wins championships? And yeah, usually the teams who win the championship are good defenders. But it has never been as evident that defense wins championships as this Milwaukee Bucks team. The last team that made defense really their focal point to win a championship was the 2004 Detroit Pistons. But, I mean, 2004, 17 years we haven't seen a defensive team win with defense. I mean, really look at it. Their most, like with Giannis, their most memorable plays were defensive plays. I mean, Giannis with his blocks, Drew Holiday with his steals. I mean, they were just so good. And also their rebounding. I mean, their defense and rebounding won them this game. They were just absolutely fantastic. So after falling 0-2 in the finals, the Bucks won four games in a row to win this championship. And the Bucks also overcame a 2-0 series deficit twice in the postseason. One against the Nets, and then this one against the Suns. The Bucks were 10-1 at home this postseason. And the Bucks are also the third NBA team to win the NBA Finals after losing their first two games in a series. Now, Giannis with his 50 points, he is now the seventh player to score 50 points in an NBA Finals game. He is the first to do it since LeBron back in 2018. He's also the sixth player with three 40-point games in a single final series. Oh, yeah, and this. And he's the second player with three 40-point, 10-rebound games in a single finals. The only two players to do it are obviously Giannis, and the other is Shaq. Which is really, I mean, the fact that the other guy is Shaq is so appropriate because Giannis, just like Shaq, is the most dominant player in the league. I mean, he just barreled through guys this postseason, and he just really barreled through guys in this finals. I mean, he was just attacking the basket nonstop. I mean, he was so good. I mean, it was fantastic. What I would do to have a Giannis on my team, and the fact that my team are the Dallas Mavericks, and the fact that, you know, it was basically people were saying if he doesn't sign with the Bucks, if he doesn't resign with the Bucks, the team he might go to is the Mavericks. And the fact that he didn't sign with the Mavs just makes me sad, but also so happy for Milwaukee. I mean, a small market team. They drafted their guy, and their superstar re-signed the Supermax. He stayed in their hometown, their small market. They were able to get guys to surround him. Giannis said that he wanted to get this team a championship as a way to thank them for believing him in him, choosing him, drafting him, re-signing him. And he was able to do that. And I mean, if anything, this is a great thing for the NBA because this is showing small market teams, hey, it can be done. Because you know what the narrative is. It's, you know, you need to go to a big market. You know, you're not going to be able to get free agents if you're not in a big market. Blah, blah, blah. Nope. Milwaukee proved them wrong. And this is just a great thing for the NBA. Great thing for small markets. Just fantastic. So thank you, Giannis. The Bucks, this is their second NBA title since 1971. 50 years. 50 years exactly that they hadn't won a championship. And it's so great that it's Giannis that it was able to do it. So awesome. Giannis is also the second player in the NBA to win an MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, All-Star MVP, and Finals MVP. Oh, and he's also the only player with two 20-point quarters in the last 50 NBA Finals. The only player to score 20 points in two different quarters in the last 50 NBA Finals. That's amazing to think about. Think about all the superstars. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kareem, Magic, Larry Bird, Dirk, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Tim Duncan, all these guys, and Giannis is the only guy who was able to score 20 points in two different quarters. Wow. You'd think there'd be more than that. But amazing. Giannis is also the fifth player born outside of the United States to win a Finals MVP. And also, fun fact, now the Antetokounmpo brothers are now the first sibling trio in NBA history to all have a ring. And if you forget, those three brothers are obviously Giannis, Thanasis, who's on the Bucks with Giannis, and Kostas, who won his ring with the Lakers. So I brought up earlier that Giannis is now the seventh player to score 50 points in a finals game. Just to throw it out there, those other six players are Bob Pettit in the 50s, Elgin Baylor, Rick Barry, Jerry West, Michael Jordan, LeBron, and now obviously Giannis. Incredible list. But it fits because Giannis is an incredible player. He's the most dominant player I have ever seen other than Shaq. I mean, I never thought I'd see another dominant player like Shaq, but I thought if I did see another guy like Shaq, I thought he'd look like Shaq or like a Kendrick Perkins type of body, you know, just big, it'd be like trying to move a boulder. But no, it's Giannis. Giannis came into the league. When Giannis came into the league and he got drafted, he weighed 190 pounds. He weighs 240. He gained 50 pounds. And he's still 240 for a 6'11 guy? That's not that much. I mean, now it's 240 pounds of pure muscle. But I'm just saying it. For the second most dominant guy that I've ever seen in my life to just be 240. You know, like I said, I just thought it'd be another guy that looks like Shaq. But amazing. Jrue Holiday was a plus 159 this playoffs. That is the highest plus minus by any player in the playoffs. And most of that plus comes from his defense. Now there's two players now with multiple MVPs, a defensive player of the year, and a finals MVP. One of those guys is obviously Giannis, and the other guy is the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I mean, these lists that Giannis is on, it's amazing. He's on there with literally the best players. Here's another list here for you. Power forwards with multiple MVPs and a finals MVP. Giannis and Tim Duncan. You guys remember Tim Duncan, just the greatest power forward of all time? Yep, Giannis is right there. And who knows? I mean, who knows? Giannis could become the best power forward in NBA history. I wouldn't call you crazy if you told me that. If you told me that was going to happen, I wouldn't think you're crazy. Now, he'd have to win more championships, but I don't think that'd be crazy either. And, oh, yeah, just remember, Giannis, he did all this, and he hyperextended his knee less than 2 weeks ago. So, just amazing. So yeah, Giannis is the first player in NBA history to win a Most Improved Player, an MVP, a Defensive Player of the Year, a Finals MVP, a All-Star MVP. So he's not even on a list there. He's the only guy on that. So he is just outstanding. Chris Paul, unfortunately, now... I brought up his record with Scott Foster, that he was 1-12. And fun fact, that one game in that 1-12 record, Chris Paul was injured, so he didn't even play that game. So Chris Paul is now 0-12 in his last 12 playoff games that are officiated by Scott Foster. I'm sure that we'll hear Chris Paul bring that up at some point. Now, like I stated, this was the first playoffs for a couple of guys on the Suns, like Devin Booker, obviously DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, and I mean, these guys did absolutely, I mean, they were great. Devin Booker is a future superstar. Here in his first career playoffs, he averaged 27.3 points, 5.6 rebounds, and 4.5 assists a game. 45% shooting from the field, 32% shooting from three, and 91% shooting from the free throw line. He also had 4 40-point games in the playoffs. And he also had back-to-back 40-point games in the finals. The finals. You know, only the most important series that any player would ever play. Devin Booker stepped up for those. So, you know, he's a future superstar. And I know I'm going to get some heat because he's a superstar now. No, he's not. He's a tier right below, but he's not. One of the things that I always say, the one thing to me that makes the last thing that someone has to achieve in order to become a superstar is consistency. And by that I mean, actually two things, consistency and the way they affect the game. So the way they affect the game, if you're not scoring, you need to affect the game in other ways, either with your defense, you can grab a bunch of boards, your playmaking, you know, somehow. You have to affect the game somehow if you can't score. Like tonight, Devin Booker couldn't score, and he really didn't do much else. And also consistency. Like, you know, certain players, you know, all right, this guy's going to get me at least this many points, this many, like Giannis. You know, I thought it was a bad game by Giannis if he didn't score at least 30 points, 10 rebounds, even though that one game where he scored 26 points was fantastic. But yeah, I mean, that's what I mean, consistency. You expect this guy to score at least this many points, get at least as many rebounds, or get at least this many assists. That, to me, is what makes a superstar. Like LeBron, you know you're going to get 26 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. You know, that's like a given. Or like Luka, you know, for me, as a Mavs fan, I expect him to give me at least 27 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists a game. Giannis, I expect him, like I said, 30 points, 10 rebounds a game. I expect that from Giannis. You know, so that to me is what a superstar is. And Devin Booker is not there yet. He can be there, but he's not there yet. He doesn't have the consistency, and he doesn't have the intangibles that can affect the game in other ways if he can't score. He doesn't have that yet. He doesn't have those two things yet. But certainly a bright future for Devin Booker, a bright future for the Phoenix Suns. They are in good hands. Now, the only thing now is that going into the offseason, what is Chris Paul going to do? Are the Suns going to offer him an extension? Because remember now, the Suns are going to have to start paying guys. You have to start paying DeAndre Ayton, who's definitely going to want to get paid, especially after showing us what he can do here in the playoffs. So he's going to want to get paid. He's going to want his $140 million contract. Mikal Bridges is going to want to get paid. Now, he's not going to get paid max money, obviously, but he's going to want to get paid. He's going to want to get paid, I'm assuming, probably about an $80 million contract over 4 years at least. I'm sure someone out there would give him more, like the Knicks. Cam Johnson's going to want to get paid. That'd be a little more tricky. I don't know how much I'd pay him. 4 years, $64 million contract, something like that. So, campaign, you know, he's not going to get paid much. I mean, not that much, but he's going to want to get paid. I'm guessing like a 3-year, $30 million deal. And obviously the Suns now, they have to go out and get a good backup center. I mean, imagine if they had a Dwight Howard in the series playing for them. I think that they would have done great with a Dwight Howard on their team. So the Suns have a lot of things to figure out. Now, they will have a bright future nonetheless, as long as they keep their you know, Devin Booker and role players like Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, stuff like that. But Chris Paul, it's said that he wants a 3-year, $100 million deal. Are the Suns going to pay that? Would I pay that? I don't know. I don't know if I'd pay him that. I really don't know. If I was the Suns, honestly, I probably wouldn't. Not a 3-year, $100 million. If I was the Suns, I guess I'll offer him a... I guess I'll offer him that, but for 2 years. I'll offer him a 3-year... I'll offer him a 2-year, $66 million deal. But I cannot put longevity on that contract. I cannot go over 2 years. So the Suns got some things to figure out. Also, teams to win the finals. Teams that were down 0-2 in the finals and then came back to win the championship. The 1969 Celtics, the 1977 Trailblazers, the 2006 Miami Heat, the 2016 Cavs, and the 2021 Bucks. And oh, by the way, the Bucks did that. They won 4 games in a row after being down 0-2. So they were just, man, right after losing those 2 games, they were just ready. They knew. They said, no, we're not losing again. We're winning. And man, did they. Also incredible here, Giannis at 26-year-old. Just look at this resume. Giannis at 26 years old, 2-time MVP, now a finals MVP. He's now an NBA champion. He's a defensive player of the year. He's a 5-time All-NBA player. He's a 4-time all-defensive player. He's a most improved player. He's an all-star MVP and a 5-time all-star. He could retire today and he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. No doubt about it. Now, of course, the Basketball Hall of Fame is pretty freaking easy to get into. I mean, it doesn't take much. But, you know, if they made the Basketball Hall of Fame as hard to get into, say like the NFL's Hall of Fame is hard to get into, because that's tough to get into, the NFL Hall of Fame. You really got to be a great, great, great player. You got to be an all-time superstar, great player to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. Now I'm saying, if the NBA made a Hall of Fame and it was as hard to get into as the NFL makes theirs to get into, Giannis would get into it. No doubt about it. I mean, he is just great. And also, just look at these numbers by Giannis here in the NBA Finals. Game 1. Remember, Game 1, he came back from... it was his first game back from his hyperextension of his knee. Oh, and remember earlier I said his lowest scoring game in the finals was 26 points. I'm wrong. It was 20 points. It was this game 1, coming back from the hyperextended knee. Game 1, he scored 20 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists on 54% shooting. And that right there is what I'm talking about. When I was talking about what a superstar is, when I said if they can't score, how else do they affect the game? Look at this. I mean, Score did score 20 points, but he gobbled up 17 rebounds. That's what I mean by a superstar. But anyways, Game 2, Giannis, 42 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 68% shooting. Game 3, 41 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 60% shooting. Game 4, 26 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 57% shooting. Game 5, last game, 32 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 60% shooting. And then finally tonight, Game 6, 50 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 64% shooting. I mean, amazing. So the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions. the 2021 NBA champions. And also, what a story, huh, for Giannis. I mean, this kid from Greece coming over. I mean, Giannis, he's a Cinderella story if there ever was one. You know, living in Greece when he was little, him and his brothers had to sell candy on the streets to try and help his family make money to feed the family. Him and his brothers shared one pair of shoes for when they wanted to play basketball. Then Giannis comes on over from Greece over here to the U.S. He gets drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks. He starts bulking up. Starts getting stronger. He wins an MVP. But he can't get past any. He just can't get far enough in the playoffs. He wins another MVP. He still can't get far enough in the playoffs. Then he comes back. He decides to stay in Milwaukee, to stay loyal. He signs a Supermax deal, $200 million contract with the Bucks. And he just wins an NBA title. He wins an NBA championship. He wins the finals MVP. And he has definitely solidified himself as the most dominant player in the league. He's definitely a top three player in the league. So, I mean, some people I'm sure would argue he's a top two player. I'd still put him top three. But, man, what a story. Awesome to see for Giannis. I couldn't be happier for Giannis. He's not only a great player, but he seems like such a great guy. He looks so fun to be around. He's always happy, always smiling. Now, he's not like some players that are always smiling even when they lose. That's not Giannis, like a Dwight Howard type player who would just smile. They're down 30 points and he's there smiling, cracking jokes. That's not Giannis. Giannis smiles all the time, but he knows when to get serious. But Giannis has always been serious about winning. That was always evident, and now he has won an NBA championship. Now, on the other side, Chris Paul was not able to win after 16 years in the NBA. This was his last chance to win a title. If he stays with Phoenix, I don't think Phoenix will be back next year. I just don't. I mean, I don't have to repeat myself, but I've said this plenty of times here in the podcast. Over several episodes, I have said that the Phoenix Suns got lucky. I mean, like I said, I think that they would have lost in every single round if their opponents were healthy. If the Lakers were healthy, the Lakers would have won, in my opinion. If the Nuggets were healthy, I think the Nuggets would have won. If the Clippers were healthy, I think the Clippers would have won. So, but at the end of the day, it all worked itself out. The Bucks won. And I also saw the Bucks are getting some criticism that they had some luck too, but they had nowhere near the luck that the Suns had. And Giannis had to go through the Nets, who, yes, they were, Kyrie was injured, but still he had to go through Kevin Durant. He had to go through the Hawks, who were relatively, I mean, they were pretty much all healthy except for the end right there that Trae Young. And then Giannis, he himself got injured. I mean, in that game against the Hawks, I thought his season was over. Which would have been super cruel for if he would have had to miss the rest of the playoffs. Can you imagine getting this far and he had to miss the playoffs because of an injury? That would have been so cruel. But thank goodness it worked out. But yeah, Chris Paul, this might be his last chance. Well, this might have been his last chance to win the title. Now we just got to see what he's going to do. But anyways, congratulations to the 2021 Milwaukee Bucks on winning the NBA championship. All right, guys. So that is pretty much it. I probably will not have another episode for about another week. Just because the season is over does not mean that that I'm done podcasting. We still got the NBA draft. We still got free agency. We still got a whole lot of stuff to go. But the next season of the NBA will be in exactly 3 months. So obviously I won't be posting an episode every... I won't be posting an episode twice a week, but I will be posting... I'll try and do one a week because there are rumors and, like I said, the drafts, free agency. We got a couple of coaching jobs available. So we got stuff to talk about. We got the Olympics. So we got a whole lot of stuff to still talk about during the offseason. So don't you worry, I will be posting. Again, guys, if you guys have any questions, I actually had one question from Twitter. I don't remember. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to shout out your name on the next episode. I'm sorry I can't remember and I didn't write it down for this episode. But I got a question about Damian Lillard. Someone asked me if Damian Lillard will be, he asked if I thought that he'd be traded. I'm going to say yes. But that's all I'm going to say about that. I'll talk about that the next episode. But yeah, again, if you guys have any questions, topics you want me to cover, concerns, anything like that, please hit us up on Twitter. Our handle on Twitter is @ The Big Shot Pod. Just hit us up if you have any questions and I will address it here on the podcast. I'm sorry to the guy who asked me that question on Twitter who sent me a direct message. I'm sorry. I will mention you next episode and I will go more into depth. I will go more in depth on that answer in the next episode. I promise. I'm sorry I don't remember your name, but yeah, I will shout you out next episode and I will go more in depth with that answer as well. But, all right, guys, so that is it. Again, please hit us up on Twitter @ The Big Shot Pod. Any questions? But this was a fun NBA season. It was hectic. It was unpredictable. It was crazy. A lot of parody, but, I love the outcome. It was fantastic. The playoffs were great, even though unfortunately there were a lot of injuries. But still, this was a great playoffs that I will not be forgetting. So many good storylines out of this playoffs, and I'll talk about that next episode as well. I've actually got quite a bit to talk about next episode, but yeah. So great NBA 2020-2021 season. Congratulations again to the Milwaukee Bucks. Congratulations to Giannis. Congratulations to Chris Middleton, to Drew, to all the Bucks, to Coach Bud, who will now be keeping his job for sure. I know I definitely criticized him a lot, but congratulations to all of them. And congratulations to the Phoenix Suns for getting this far as well. I'm sure that we will see a whole lot more of them in the future. But yeah, so great, great, great NBA season, great playoffs, great NBA finals, a great champion that we got to see. But yeah. All right, guys, so that's all I got for you today. I will be posting again probably in about a week, probably on Wednesday next week, just so, take a little break here, give you guys a little break, but I will definitely be back in a week or so. Like I said, I'll only be posting once a week, but I will definitely keep you guys posted every episode on whatever's going on. If there's anything critical that happens or anything crazy, I will... I'll post an emergency podcast, so don't you worry. But all right, guys. Thanks again. As usual, I am your host, Chaba Baja. Thank you so much for listening to the Big Shot Pod. Thank you so much for listening to us during these playoffs. I hope you guys listen to us during the off season, because as you know, there is nothing crazier than the NBA free agency and nothing crazier than the NBA off season. So, I hope you guys, stay posted here as well. But all right, guys, that is it for this episode of the Big Shot Pod. I am your host, Chaba Baja. Once again, congratulations to the NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. And you guys have a great night. Bye-bye. You know, man.